Welcome to Mindset, the Guy podcast, where we interview people and discuss how they were able to overcome their challenges and how they were able to learn from them. So I want to thank Dr. Rob Kelly for joining me. And Dr. Rob Kelly is a world-renowned expert in addiction. So can you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thanks for having me on. My name is Dr. Rob Kelly. I'm the addiction doctor, they call me. I'm an addiction psychologist, and I'm also a behavioral scientist. And basically, what we do is we specialize in neuroscience with addiction and alcoholism. So it's kind of in the new science to do with addiction combined with the old stuff that I was taught when I was suffering from alcoholism and addiction.
Wow. And we're just going to go ahead and dive right in. And talk about, well, you know, first let's talk about where you were raised at, where you were born, those type of experiences.
Obviously, I'm in San Antonio, Texas now, but I'm originally from Manchester in the United Kingdom. And I grew up there with my family. I started drinking alcohol at the age of 9. I was a musician on stage with a musical family. So Manchester's my hometown. I went down to Oxford to get educated. First person in my family to go to college. And while I was doing that, I was also a session musician at the famous Abbey Road. So I played with Elton John and Bowie and Queen and all them guys. And I put myself through college. And I suffered from alcoholism all through my life. I decided to study it. And then the road from, which we'll get into shortly, the road from where I've come from to where I am today is just absolutely incredible. But I moved back to Manchester after 6 years at college, 7 years at college. And then I came to the United States about 13 years ago to Texas, and I absolutely love Texas. I only go back home to visit.
That's great. And so let's talk a little bit about how everything changed. How did your life look like before you started getting into recovery, started kind of turning your life around? What did your life look like?
It was absolutely horrendous. After coming to college, I was drinking heavily and using drugs now and again. And then I moved back to Manchester, joined the police force. I got fired from there for being drunk, started a business in telecoms, got married, and thought that would conquer my drinking, because I knew I was drinking a little bit too much, but not bad, and it didn't. So the first child came along, and I promised I would never drink alcohol again, because now I'm drinking every day, every morning, every night. And when the first child was born, I swore to my wife that I would never drink again. And 4 hours later, I'm in the bar, you know, wasted. Just couldn't stop. I didn't know I couldn't stop. I always said, I'll stop anytime I want. It's okay. So when we had the second child, I actually took a Bible to the birthing. And when the baby was born, I'm putting my wife's arms, I got the Bible out, put my hand on the Bible. And I swore to my wife that now we have two kids and we're a real family. I'd never drink alcohol ever again. Lasted about 6 hours, and the same thing again, I was drunk. So what happened over a period of time was I lost the kids and the wife, the big house, the nice cars. Parents wouldn't speak to me, brother and sister left, and I became homeless. So I went from this beautiful lifestyle through drinking to homeless, and I spent a year on the street, so begging, sleeping in bus shelters, sleeping in fields, in cardboard boxes. It was just absolutely horrendous. Tried to commit suicide 4 times and succeeded twice. I died for 45 seconds on one and 90 seconds on the second attempt. And they brought me back to life, took me to hospitals, been in sanitariums, prisons, jails, hospitals, you name it, I've been there. I just didn't want to die. And I tried to die on several occasions and I couldn't do it. And that's what my life was like. It was absolutely sad, horrendous, and I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
Wow. And what was the event that changed it for you? Like, so you lost everything. And what was that moment that you like, wow, I really need to find the path?
Well, it was 2:30 in the morning on Monday morning, Sunday night, Monday morning. It was pouring down with rain in Manchester and it's freezing cold. I had no shoes on my feet. Someone had stolen my shoes the night before, which happened quite often. And I was walking down a lonely street. It was very dark. It was a side street. And I dropped down to my hands and knees. and I just started to cry from my belly. I was just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And it was cold and it was wet and it was just a horrible night. And I wasn't crying because I'd lost my kids and my wife and all my money and stuff. And I was crying because the first time in my life I realized that I couldn't stop drinking. And it was just a sad and pitiable thing. And I looked up to the sky and I have no idea why I did. And I just said, if there's a God up there, I can't do this on my own anymore. And about 20 seconds later, a guy came down this street that was the back end of nowhere. He had a little Bible in his hand. And he said, hey, do you want help? And I'm like, what are you doing here? How did you find me? And he said, well, I was at a Bible study. I missed my last bus. I just walked 4 hours trying to get home. And if you want, I can help you. Take back to the house. And that was my defining moment. From there, my life got better and better. 3% of people who live on the streets come off the streets. 97% of the people die on the streets.
Wow.
So I was just, it's a miracle I got. What happened to me on my journey from then to here, is, I believe, is not humanly possible. It's just not humanly possible. They call me one of the greatest minds in the modern addiction world, which I believe I am. I'm very good at what I do. But to get to here from where I was is just, it's just, not possible.
Wow. And who helped you on the way? Because I think sometimes we think it's just you have to like bare knuckle it, and you know, and you had talked about the person that was there to help you on that moment. Was there other people that were able to help you on the way?
Yeah, there was an incredible occasion where after gone in this guy's house, I bathed for the first time in 10 months. I ate for the first time in probably 3 months properly, instead of out of garbage cans. And he took me to an AA meeting, and I sat there, and you know, I hated the meetings, but I sat there because it was a dry bed that night, and halfway around the room, this guy shared, and he had a white beard, he had white hair, and what he had to say was incredible. And I walked over to the guy and asked him, would he sponsor me? And he said, no, but I'll be a spiritual advisor for a period of time. And he gave me a book and a dictionary, and I walked up to that man's house every week on a Wednesday. It took me an hour to get there because I had to walk, and an hour to get back. It was like, I don't know, 8-10 miles. And I would study with him the Alcoholics Anonymous book, and then I would walk home again. And I did that for 8 weeks. So, you know, eight times I'd gone there, 8 times I'd come back. And when he showed me stuff and showed me how to get well and showed me how to work with people, and when I finally walked out of that man's house, I knew that if I continued to do what he taught me, I would never drink alcohol again. My whole physique, my whole being, everything had changed about me. And I was talking, you know, about the book and recovery, and people were blown away. And I remember about a month after, I got my first job. It's a part-time little job because I was sober and ready. And my first paycheck was about £20 or $20. And I went to the petrol gas station, and I bought him a little teddy bear and a little card, and I wrote on the card, thank you, John, you know, for saving my life, blah, blah, blah. And I put it in an envelope, and I walked the 8 miles again to his house. And I got to the house, and nobody was there. And I was banging that loud on the door, but the next door neighbor came out in the apartment. And she said, can I help you? And I said, can you tell me where John is? And she says, there's been no one in that apartment for at least 6 months. So I obviously thought she was loony. So when she went in, I went to the other side of the apartment. I knocked on this door, and a guy came to the door, and I says, can you tell where John's moved to? And he said, there's been no one in that apartment for a year, and I've never traced that guy. I went back to the meeting when I saw him, and people were just, I don't remember him. It was like I don't remember speaking to anyone. Never traced that man, but he gave me something that I pass on to now. And he told me to guarantee people can recover. Unheard of. My company is the only company in the world, the addiction company, Rob Kelly Recovery Group, is the only company in the world that will offer you a money-back guarantee if you drink or use again after going through our program. Wow. That's how crazy. I know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm one of the best minds, because it's not about the alcohol and drugs. It's about me, the person.
Yeah.
I can change who I was.
And if somebody's going through this type of, because this is what you do for a living. I mean, what did you learn from that experience that helps guide you today?
I've learned a couple of things. First of all, it was the most important thing I've learned is that you can do anything, anytime. You can be anybody. You can change your life a drop of a hat. You just have to believe. So the only way I can explain to people, it's like quantum physics. quantum physics tells us, let's say a basketball court, for instance, it tells me, and it's a proven science, that I can be anywhere on that basketball court, let's say up to 25 times on the court at any one time. That's what quantum physics tells me. So where I want to be is I want to be over near the goal, near the hoop. So when someone passes to me, I stuck it in the hoop and I'm a superstar of the game. That's where I want to be. How do I get to that position? Listen very carefully. I walk over and I take that position. I don't ask for it. I don't interview for it. I walk over and I take it because I can already visualize it. I'm already there. And don't let anybody tell you you can't do this, guys, because this is the key to life. This is the key to success. And I don't mean money to success. That will come. I mean success as being a human being and being at peace with somebody. Is you walk over and you take the position. As simple as that. You know, we get too caught up in fear. I used to make practical decisions based on fear. Yeah. So I had a friend who was an accountant, and me being a musician, he was asked to join this band. And he joined them, and you know, he was umming and ahhing, and they got like a little record deal. It wasn't much, so they kind of turned pro. And my friend said to me, I don't know whether to go with the band or stay where I am in the accounting job because I have a wife and a kid. So I'm going to stay where I am and play it safe. So the band went on then to become the band Oasis. Wow. And he got let go from his job 6 months after because they were closing down. And that taught me a big lesson. If you're going to fail with the stuff you don't want, why not try for the stuff you want?
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And that's, I think, Phil, that's a big thing. I mean, I don't know why I even think about it so much of the fear of the unknown. You know what I mean? And the fear of like, well, at least I know what's going to happen. I mean, going at you, trying to figure out what you think is going to happen, but the fear of the unknown and how scary that is. I mean, and that's what you're, I feel like that's what you're talking about right now. And how does your program help with that? I mean, that it's, yeah.
What we do is we, you know, most people, especially the alcoholic or addict, were born with self-sabotaging neural pathways. Now, neural pathways are thought patterns in the head. There are billions in the brain. So my go-to thing is to self-sabotage no matter what I'm doing, whatever it is. And my go-to is alcohol. So I will build up a bright future. I will get that job. I will buy that car. I will get that girlfriend. Over a period of time, I'll self-sabotage. So I'm already thinking about how to lose a girlfriend. I'm already knowing quite well that I can't afford that car and it's going to be taken off me. So I'm self-sabotaging already. What happens is you have to change the way that self-sabotaging neural pathways work. So they become secondary to healthy, positive neural pathways. So repetition strengthened and confirmed when we're talking about the brain. So the prefrontal cortex, which is here, it has one job in the world, one job only, and it's absolutely amazing at the job, is to come up with an answer or a solution to your problem as fast as it possible can, which 9 times out of 10 in a human being is amazing. That's how we get business done. Unfortunately, with the addicted brain, that's what I have, the prefrontal cortex doesn't have to come up with the right answer. So my answer is alcohol every time. So what happens is the hypothalamus at the back of the brain here, it's a fight or flight part of the brain. It's just near the prehistoric brain. It will secrete chemicals into the brain that tell the average person to drink alcohol, so drink water and eat food. Survival instinct. Basic survival instinct. With the alcoholic, it tells us to drink alcohol. And that's why alcoholics can go days, if not weeks, without food or water. Because that's what it tells us. We have to change that way of thinking. So Changing the way of thinking around alcohol is easy. I can do that with my eyes closed, my hands tied on the back. I can do that with somebody, no problems. What about life? How can we make it a life beyond your wildest dreams? Not just getting that job in that factory that you want. What about CEO of that factory? Why not go and buy that Porsche or Bentley that you want? Why don't you live in that $1 million house? Who's stopping you? Back to quantum physics. Visualize yourself there. Walk over and take the position. Don't ask for it. Walk over and take it because somebody else will. And that's what people are freaked out about. Well, like, you know, what if? Stop being scared of failure. You've just got to look at some of the biggest people in the past who was not Oprah Winfrey. They fired her because she's never any good for TV. The Beatles was knocked back 12 times from record companies. You will never be a hit ever again. And you look back at all these people that have made themselves somebody, and in the past somebody, they always had failure because failure is part of success. You have to feel the lows to know how high and good you are. You see, without my time on the streets, how do I know I'm doing good today? it has to be measured. It has to be a yardstick. And no matter what you're going through, it's never a failure. It's a learning opportunity to move forward. But listen, here's the key. Self-dialogue. End of story.
Yeah.
Self-dialogue. If I tell myself I can't do it, I'm not worthy, I'm scared of doing what I'm doing, I'm not going to do it. If I tell myself above everything else that I'm going to do it, you're going to do it. I met Arnold Schwarzenegger in 1979, 1980, when he came over to do a show. He wasn't famous. Nobody knew who he was. He just completed the little tiny film, Pumping Iron. Nobody knew apart from bodybuilders what he was. He came over. I had a conversation with him that I never will forget. And he said to me these things. He said, in broken English, he said, Rob, it's all part of the mind. And I said, explain it. And he said to me, and I quote, I will become the biggest movie star in the world, and I will marry into the world-renowned, famous Kennedy family. Well, I couldn't stop laughing. The guy couldn't speak English. He comes from Graz in Austria. Nobody knew who he was. Little Kennedys don't know who they are. And when he achieved both, it taught me a big lesson. Because he believed it. He truly believed it.
Yeah.
And if you were to put me on a lie detector test and ask me if I was going to be where I am today, I would have passed because I believed it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, that's why I started this podcast, because I think, because I grew up in a kind of a, you know, low socioeconomic area, East LA in California. And so that's what I learned, is that you have to be able to fail and be able to learn from those mistakes and be able to grow from those mistakes, because you're going to make mistakes no matter who you are, where you come from. And I think you're spot on. And being able to make mistakes and learning from them. So I couldn't agree with you more. I was just listening like, wow, yeah, it totally makes sense. And
like anything you want in life, you can have. And I used to say that years ago, and people go, well, I can't be president. Well, actually, it looks like you can. No disrespect to the president now, but he showed you that he's a businessman, he's not a politician. So he can do anything you want in the world. You know, don't look at the bar that's low and go, okay, I'll be happy with that. I was supposed to grow up, get married, have two kids, go to the pub every Friday or Saturday night, work at a local factory and be happy with my life.
Yeah.
Says who? I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. How far can this English guy, this ex-drunk who sold his kids out for alcohol and stabbed his wife 3 times because she won't let him finish drinking the bottle of vodka he started, how far can this guy push it? And I don't have bad days today. I have better days than others. And life is just absolutely unbelievable. Every day I get up, I look outside. I have a Mercedes McLaren sat in my driveway. Yeah. I have a huge pool, a huge house. I've got loads of money in that. Why? Because I saw it and I walked over and I took that position. Don't take things personally when you fail. Just go, okay, well, that was a good try. I remember the Beatles, good try. You know, let's try this then all the time. Look at the guy from Amazon. I remember him being in an office, 12 by 12, little sign in the back, sprayed with a paint can, Amazon behind him, selling books, probably earning about $20 a day. Look at him now. He had a vision.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely. And wow. Yeah. It's you're absolutely right. I mean, for me to look back on where I'm at now at 40 and where I was at, like in high school, you know, dyslexic, stuttering problem, you know, and from East LA, there would be no way. But I always thought, look, I love hearing, I care about people. I love talking to people, and this is what I want to do. And it took me longer than most people, but just learning from my mistakes and overcoming them and being comfortable with being uncomfortable, you know, and so, and then finding knowledge about other people, you know, and how can I be successful? And there's this great thing called YouTube where you can do that.
Exactly. You can do anything. I Google it. You know, I'm still a musician today, though I don't play professionally, but if I want to know how to play a chord or a riff or something, YouTube does it in seconds. I'm already a professional. In today's day and age of all the internet and everything that goes with that, there is no reason why you can't become an absolute success in your given area. Everybody has a given area. You find that niche and you go for it every single time. Because at the end of the day, what's the worst can happen? You don't make it. The feeling of not making it might hurt you a little bit. But let me tell you something, guys, listening out there, watching out there, it won't hurt you as bad, half as bad as when you sat there at 60 going, I wish I would have, I wish I would have.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember moving back and forth from my parents' house. And then the third time I was like, what's the worst can happen? I'm just going to go out and make mistakes. And it was kind of like the best decision that I decided to make. Just, you have to go ahead and take risks and get out of your comfort zone.
And believe, you know, I was citing Gordon Ramsay's a good friend of mine, the guy on TV, the chef. And I'm sat in his house one day and I'm having lunch with him. And he turned to me and was talking about, you know, success and everything. And he said to me, he said, Rob, do you know why I'm the best chef in the world? And I said, I don't know, because you can cook really well. And he said, hell no, because I tell everybody I am. Mm. And my mind was blown. Yeah. I'm like, so I started calling myself the best addictionologist in the world. And not only did other people believe it, I started to believe it. Once you're at that point, nobody can stop you. Nobody can stop you. I'm the best in the world at what I do.
Yeah.
Is that provable? I don't know. How do you measure that? But my mind thinks I am, and that's all I'm bothered about.
Yeah.
Not with the confidence that you've got. You see, psychology 101, if I tell you a lie, you might believe it, you might not. If I tell you a lie often enough, you're going to believe it. If I tell you a lie real often enough, I'm going to start to believe it.
Yeah.
I'm telling my brain all the time, I'm priming my brain for success. I take my guys, my patients who come and want to be successful, I take them to the Porsche dealership and I sit them in the Porsche. I take them to the million-dollar houses and we have a look around there. You see, what happens is the brain gets primed for this stuff. So it's going to happen. We just don't know when. And when it does happen, we're not freaked out going, oh my God, I've just bought a Porsche, because the brain's already been there. So the brain goes, okay, well, that's cool. And that's the difference. Because once you get freaked out, then your pathways don't work as good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I try to tell my clients, I try to tell people that I talk to, is just because your first thought doesn't have to be your last. You know, being able to train your brain to, like, okay, when you have this thought, you need to come something positive. You need to come something strong. So, absolutely. I mean, it's how has that been able to shape your career? I mean, I know that's an easy question for you, but, you know,
I came over to America and people are like, because in England, it's very hard to, I mean, there's only three, when I was there, there's three TV channels, you know, and most of it was run by a certain lot of people, so you can't get on TV. So when I came over here with cable and everything, I did a bit like Arnold did. I said to myself, I want to be on TV. Not only on TV on a regular basis, I want to be on national TV with viewers where there's about 4 to 6 million people that are watching me. I want to write a book over here. I wanted to have 4 or 5 practices in 4 or 5 different countries. I wanted to be a self-made millionaire, and I want to work with about 6,000 patients while I'm here. People laughed. People laughed. I have done the TV in front of 8 million people. I have worked with nearly 5,000 people. I am a self-made millionaire. I do live in a million-dollar house. I do drive a McLaren Mercedes. All these things have happened. I'm the best in the world at what I do. I can't offer a money-back guarantee, because I believe in myself and other people believe in, because this isn't, and this is another thing, if you don't take anything from this, guys, take this. It can't be a job. It can't be a way of life. It has to be a passion. You have to breathe, eat, you know, talk, walk this deal. And once you do that, people will start to take notice. Because if you don't believe in yourself, other people see through you. And once they start to criticize and chip away at you, you will break and self-doubt yourself. Self-doubt will kill your dreams.
Absolutely. On that, I just want to thank you for your time and for those words of wisdom. And I appreciate your time. Thank you so much, Dr.
Thank you so much, Ronnie. It's absolutely amazing. Been really cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right.